It's easy to voice your support, but for what are you willing to take action? The pen might be mightier than the sword, but only in its ability to turn script into steps, pages into protests. What are you willing to stand up for? What do you demand must change? Welcome to Steps to Value, the HIMSS People, Process, and Technology podcast. In today's episode, we'll explore the HIMSS interoperability call to action. The call to action demands that we achieve secure, appropriate, and ubiquitous data access and electronic exchange of health information. It requires that we provide guiding principles to inform health policy and to spur our nation's health sector to action. We'll learn about the change the call to action propels from Evelyn Gallego, chair of the HIMSS Interoperability and Health Information Exchange Committee. Evelyn has spent her career focused on driving healthcare interoperability and the standards that lay the foundation for achieving it. In an interview from HIMSS 18 with producer Adam Baser, Evelyn details the goals of HIMSS interoperability call to action and how individuals and organizations can take action to support the goal of healthcare data exchange and access. She gives us an insider's view on the process of making healthcare standards and shares her thoughts on the delicate art of mission-driven consensus. All that and more coming up. Concert by HIMSS is a one-of-a-kind testing and certification program designed to help objectively evaluate the connectivity of products and make purchase decisions easier. Learn more at HIMSSinnovationCenter.org/certified.
Evelyn Gallego is founder and CEO of EMI Advisors. Evelyn, thanks for joining us today.
Great. Thank you for having me.
So we're here to talk about the HIMSS interoperability call to action. What was the unmet need that drove the creation of the call to action, and what does the call contain?
Sure. So I'll clarify that interoperability call to action is really a set of six guiding principles that the broader health information and technology community, including our federal partners, so it's not just for the federal government, can execute on to achieve what we call the triple aim of better health, better care at lower costs through the best use of electronic health information. It was developed, so it didn't come out of thin air. It was developed by the HIMSS Interoperability and HIE Committee last year, and I was a member at the time, and this year I'm chairing it. And it was in response to requests made from the HIMSS North America Board of Directors. Early last year, the committee was challenged, so we as a committee received a challenge to come up with a few guiding principles to advance the state of interoperable health information exchange across the country. The Interoperability and HIE Committee was happy to take on the challenge and work diligently through the year to identify what we call tangible action items that could be carried out across industry. I do want to acknowledge that you mentioned where did they come from, how did they come to be. So these six key areas were directly informed by a parallel work stream that the committee was engaged in. So at the same time, we were working towards the development of an environmental scan of approaches to national interoperability, as well as some members were directly participating in the 21st Century Cures Act trusted exchange frameworks. The call to action, when we came up with it, it was approved by the HIMSS North America Board in October of last year. And the call to action itself, again, as I mentioned earlier, consists of six key areas, which are written using the SMART principle. They're specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. And so I will read them out because they are very detailed. So I'll start with the first one. The first one is demand integration between the interoperability approaches and trusted exchange frameworks for the public good. Number two is educate the community to appropriately implement existing and emerging standards, data formats, and use cases to ensure a comprehensive integrated approach to care. Number three is ensure stakeholder participation from across the care continuum, including patients and caregivers. And I would add for that point is across both clinical and non-clinical. Number four is identify the minimum necessary business rules for trusted exchange to enhance care coordination. Number 5 is standardize and adopt identity management approaches. And lastly, number 6 is improve usability for data use to support direct care and research. So this entire call to action can be accessed on the HIMSS website. So you could Google, I know where this is a podcast. There's a specific page for interoperability and the calls to actions are listed there.
Great. We'll include a link to the call on this episode's landing page. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the implications for the wider industry regarding the interoperability call for action. Why should healthcare stakeholders want to get involved with the call?
Great. So having worked with my fellow committee members on this call to action, one thing I have stressed in our discussions is that we cannot expect the federal government as one of the stakeholder groups for this action to do this alone. We appreciate the role government and policy have played in advancing the adoption of electronic health records and propelling health information exchange. We have come so far since HITECH. We really have. and HIMSS here is an example of all everyone that is here. But really now is the time to have all industry stakeholder groups, to include those that provide and or use non-clinical or non-traditional sources of data, to come to the table. We're no longer speaking about digitizing our health data. We know gaps remain to get every American to have an electronic health record, but this is a problem industry has found a solution for and is working towards. The interoperability piece is the one we still grapple with. And I would stress that this is not a problem that only healthcare stakeholders should address. There is much we can learn from and should be applying from other industries like banking and e-commerce. Just consider how far Amazon has come in the last 10 years. Incredible. They started as an e-commerce platform for books. And as we heard most recently, they are very clear that they're entering the healthcare market.
So what are some ways that stakeholders can get involved with the call? Are there opportunities at the individual level, at the organizational level? How can people support the goals?
Yes, there are many ways everyone can get involved and support this work. So for one, they can become an interoperability call to action champion or supporter. HIMSS has a dedicated webpage where individuals can sign up either as champions or a supporter. And most importantly, it's free to sign up. To start, like, nonprofit professional societies are invited to sign up as champions. Champions are those that can support the call to action either by getting the word out on the value of interoperability and driving change, incorporating the ideas from this call to action into the organization's work and policies. These societies can also participate in interoperability work groups where they can lend their expertise to advise the federal government on how to move the call to action principles forward. And these societies can also share updates with stakeholders to ensure participation from across the continuum. If you don't fall into the champion bucket, then HIMSS invites you to participate as a supporter. As a supporter, you become part of a group that has a simple ask to incorporate the ideas from the call to action into your work and policy efforts. And all stakeholders can get involved. So there's, again, a link on the HIMSS website that Adam said will be shared after. And so we encourage you to please go there and take a read and sign up for one of them. That's a start.
So looking at the industry more broadly, mm-hmm. is the question of interoperability going to be one that we'll continue to talk about? Do you see an endpoint when the conversation is no longer required? What's your perspective on the state of interoperability and its future?
Great question. And funny enough, we were just talking about that in our committee meeting before this recording. I think interoperability, the term itself, it's been around for a while. So like, as I mentioned, you know, in banking and e-commerce, it's not a new word. It's new within healthcare. I do think we still have a lot more to do. What's exciting is that here at the HIMSS conference this morning, we had a presentation from the CMS administrator where she specifically spoke on the value of interoperability and having patients become more engaged in the access and the use of their data. I think that's really important to have that visibility at that leadership level. And as you cross even the HIMSS floor, everyone's talking about interoperability. I think I look forward to what comes out of the 21st Century Cures Act requirements for the Trusted Exchange Framework, that you'll have some agreement, some common agreement that everyone can come together and state, this is how we are going to work together to ensure that data can move securely and seamlessly throughout our systems, regardless of the source of the data. I think that's a start. And I do, like I said earlier, I really believe that we can learn a lot from the other industries that have found solutions for this. So much what you see there is like, this is not, it's not something that technology cannot support right now. It's all these other things above that we really need to start honing in on. And like the call to actions are very specific for that reason, because we think that they are, I wouldn't call them low hanging fruit, but they are some guidelines to say, let's take those needed steps to push us over the edge.
So it sounds like you're saying that the technology is not what's holding us back. Correct. From interoperability. Yeah. What is?
I think it's a lot of the policies, processes, workflows. The truth is, I mentioned banking and e-commerce. What's been really clear to me actually at this HIMSS conference is that why it's been so easy, not that it was an easy path to exchange our financial data or for us to change our shopping habits, but it was because we as consumers drove it. It was because we had to make that decision. We weren't dependent on a provider or a doctor making that decision. I really think engaging the individual in owning and moving their data, having that demand, I think that's where finally, so, and I speak about this often, is really shifting from patient-centric to person-centric, because you really need to have that viewpoint that as individuals, as people, we own that data. We should control it. We should manage it. And we should push industry to provide solutions that give us that seamless access to it and secure access to it.
So Evelyn, you've been involved throughout your career in the formulation and evaluation of health IT standards. I think when it comes to standards, people think that they just magically appear and need to be responded to. Can you give us sort of an insider's view on the process of building standards? What's difficult about the process? What would surprise people is easy about the process?
Sure. And as we all know, we need standards for interoperability. So they go hand in hand. So foremost, I do want to acknowledge that I came into the world of standards development from a life science, business, and policy perspective. Over the past decade, I've learned much from my fellow medical informaticians. The process itself is not simple and takes significant collaboration and coordination across groups with unique and often opposing interests. So the consensus building process is essential. The great thing is that standards development organizations, or SDOs as I call them, such as HL7, CDISC, SNOMED, CT, and Region Strafe, have established clear procedures for developing, publishing, managing, and curating standards. Most of them, they all do have agreed upon governance structures to ensure that the right standards are developed to meet industry needs, as well as implementation guides to ensure the standards are being executed properly. The downside is that for most of these organizations, most of their membership is volunteer, and most of these volunteers have full-time jobs outside of their engagement and participation in the SDO. So, of course, this impacts deadlines of getting standards developed and submitted for review. In addition, the process by which standards get vetted, or what we refer to in the standards world as balloted, takes a significant level of effort and time beyond the actual development process. There needs to be an agreed-upon level from the SDO member. So, take, for example, a standard that is in the ballot process must receive a certain percentage of positive votes before it moves on to the next cycle. And any negative comments must be addressed. So often a standard can fail during this process and the sponsoring group must start back at the beginning. So it is a very tedious process, but the fact that they have these governance structures in place to do that ensures that there is some credibility and legitimacy of the standard being developed. The other, I say, challenge too from a timing perspective is that even after a new standard passes, it still needs to go through a period of testing and validation, or maturity by the industry before it can be published and considered as a final or mature standard. So hence we say, even when the standards projects I've worked on, when we are developing or even we say identifying or revising an existing standard, take up to 2 years.
Wow. So we should appreciate the standards that we have and the
don't reinvent the wheel. No. Yes. Absolutely. That's my message all the time. Look what we've developed and figure out how we can improve it.
Well, wonderful. We've got time for one last question, and it's a question we ask all of our guests. Mm. This show is about the relationship between humans and technology. From your perspective, what's your favorite technological invention, and what impact do you think it's had on our culture? Doesn't have to be in healthcare.
Easy for me, and this is something anyone who knows me well would say this too, that I was absolutely over the over the moon when I discovered GPS. As someone who's traveled, I've enjoyed traveling all my life, and I've always carried with me maps and any place I visit in the past prior to GPS. So I ended up having lots of maps. My world was surrounded by maps, but I enjoyed them for that piece, but I also needed them because I do not have the best sense of direction. So when I was first introduced, and the brand was TomTom at the time, and this was before they were even included in cars, I just thought it was phenomenal. Like, it was the best thing ever invented, and it would direct you, and of course we've come a long way, but I think that's just really, that was just one piece. And now GPS is common, you know, you find it in more than in and across all your devices. So for me, I think that's had significant impact, especially for traveling, for security, and it just allows you to know where you are at and help you navigate without having all the bulky maps in your backpack.
Evelyn Gallego is founder and CEO of EMI Advisors. Evelyn, thank you so much for joining us today on Steps to Value.
Thank you very much, Adam.
This is Bronwyn Huron, Manager Interoperability Initiative at HIMSS North America. I bring value to HIMSS members by leading the HIMSS Interoperability Showcase, demonstrating standards-based interoperable solutions to 43,000 attendees at the HIMSS Global Conference. You're listening to Steps to Value.
So what are you willing to stand up for? How will you take action to demand ubiquitous healthcare data access and exchange? Let us know how you've gotten involved in the HIMSS Interoperability Call to Action. Send us a note as a voice memo or email, and we'll play it or read it on the air at the end of our next episode. You can send your comments to value@hims.org. We'd like to thank our guest, Evelyn Gallego, founder and CEO of EMI Advisors, for her valuable insights on the industry-wide change needed in healthcare to make our health data as accessible as our financial data. For more information on the HIMSS Interoperability Call to Action, and for all things discussed by today's guest, please visit this episode's landing page in the HIMSS Health IT Value Suite. Steps to Value is a copyrighted HIMSS North America production. The series is co-produced by Adam Baser. Kelly Lippitt is story editor and guest relations manager. I'm Rod Pihowski. See you next time on Steps to Value.